We're going to look at being thankful as it pertains to God's will. And, you know, it's written in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. But first, let me ask you if you know who the first president was to declare Thanksgiving as a national holiday. Does anybody know? The first president to declare Thanksgiving as a national holiday. It was the first president, Washington. And who were we to be thankful to? Almighty God. The first president of these United States declared this national holiday that we would be thankful to Almighty God. They knew the providence of God. So now we're going to start with a familiar account in this message today. It reveals our Lord's thankfulness and His power to bring life. This is the report of Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. Doesn't seem like a Thanksgiving kind of a text, right? But as we get into it, you'll see that it is. I'm not going to talk about pilgrims, and I'm not going to talk about turkeys, and I'm not going to talk about all that kind of stuff. This account, though, is truly amazing, and I believe it's very inspirational, and I trust that each of you will leave here enriched by this message. It shows the beauty of being thankful. It shows the power of our Creator over all things, life and death. It's God's will that we live thankful lives always. Always. And to support this premise, we're going to look at other passages of Scripture also. And they instruct us to be thankful. So if you will, open your Bible to the 11th chapter of John's Gospel record, and we're going to listen to the Word of Promise dramatized Bible this morning. Thomas Nelson Publishers gives us permission to use this in our services. In fact, they tell people that you can do that. Not just that you can, but they suggest it. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 46. So if you will, join me in that. Bert's going to cue that up.
Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him,
Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.
When Jesus heard that, he said,
this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples,
let us go to Judea again.
Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?
Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.
Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.
However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly,
Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.
Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
let us also go, that we may die with him.
So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.
Your brother will rise again.
I know. know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister.
The teacher has come and is calling for you.
As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her.
She's going to the tomb to weep there.
Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled.
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
Jesus wept.
See how he loved him.
Could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying?
Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it.
Take away the stone.
Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him,
Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days.
Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes.
Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me.
Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice,
Lazarus, come forth.
And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth.
Loose him and let him go.
Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did.
Why did Jesus wait? This was his friend. Why did he wait? Why was there a delay? He said because he was glad he wasn't there, because he wanted them to believe. The disciples weren't too happy about traveling to Judea because the people there had sought to stone Jesus. And one of them said, yeah, let's go with him and we can die too. They weren't very thankful at that moment, were they? He wanted to show them that he had power over death. He wanted to show them that. Because then his death, they would see, was not the end. At that time, it was believed that the soul lingered up to 3 days after death and could reenter the body. Did you know that? They really believed that the body could be reanimated within 3 days. Of course, they weren't embalming them. They weren't throwing them in freezers. We've all heard, maybe read accounts of people who said they died and saw their body and came back into it. He waited 4 days past Lazarus's death to arrive, which was past that time. They believed reentry was possible, and this was intentional. He wanted to show them that he is the resurrection and the life. This is something to be thankful for us. Jesus told Martha and all who would listen that he is the resurrection. Whoever believes in him, though they were dead, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. Never. Never. So even when this body, this human body, passes away, that which animates it is still alive. And this is the essence of the gospel of everlasting life. This is what we have to be thankful for as followers of Christ. And by believing, we receive what he offers in the new covenant. The narrative found in the 11th chapter of John's gospel record provides a deep depth of insight into the will of Almighty God. On the surface, we see the power of God to overcome any and all limitations, even physical death. This is the will of God, that we recognize he is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is that Yehovah, that national God of Israel, of whom we have been grafted into. We can also observe our Lord's authentic love that was revealed by delaying his coming to his sick friend. You know, we would think, I've got to rush over there and I've got to help. He delayed. And he did it intentionally because he wanted to show them that he had the power over death. We can also find a picture of human faith and versus the lack of faith and how they can coexist. Martha believed, and yet she doubted. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. She had to come to the fullness of recognizing who he really was. Even though she believed, she still had some element of doubt, and he had to get her past that. These are powerful examples that can be used to strengthen us against all opposition to being thankful. Before Lazarus came out of the grave, our Lord offered thanks. How many of us offer thanks to God before our prayer is answered? Thank you, Father, I know you hear me. And he wasn't just saying, I know you hear me. He's saying, I know you hear and will respond. Because what he was praying for was in the will of God. He wasn't praying for something selfish. It was just selfish, because it was selfish. It says he wept. He was weeping over the loss of his friend. And yet at the same time, he knew he was going to raise him. Why would he weep? Yeah, I've brought this up at funerals whenever I've given funerals. Why would Jesus weep? Was he weeping because of their lack of faith? Was he weeping because they were weeping? That's one of the things that gets me whenever I hear people moaning and groaning in sorrow. It touches me. And I wonder if maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was all of those things, and maybe it was more. It requires faith to say thank you before the prayer is answered. It requires faith. Giving thanks in all things, even before your prayers, is important. Before your prayers are answered. Jesus knew the Father would hear his prayer and restore the dead man to new life. He knew it. He absolutely knew it. He believed it. There's no doubt. He illustrated thankfulness, and that carries power from God. Remember that giving thanks is God's will for you. It's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know, last 2 weeks we looked at the will of God. We looked at the will of God being our sanctification, being set apart, being made holy in Christ. We looked at the will of God being everlasting life. And here we see the will of God in giving thanks and in new life. Giving thanks in all things is a form of resisting the devil who seeks to devour you with anger and bitterness and malice. I listen. I pay attention when people talk. And sometimes I hear bitterness. I hear anger. I even hear malice. And giving thanks takes us out of that, because that's the work of Satan. It's not the work of God. God wants you to be thankful. Giving thanks in all things is important. And who are we to give thanks to? We find the instruction to give thanks throughout Scripture. Consider what's written in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, Jehovah. It's the root word behind there. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. And then in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And as I told our Sunday school class, that for his mercy endures forever, it occurs 41 times in Scripture. Does that mean something important? 41 times we hear, for his mercy endures forever, his mercy endures forever, his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. God is merciful. We can give thanks for his mercy. And then in Psalm 92 in verse 1, which is a song for the Sabbath day, it's written, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." 97:12, Psalm 97:12, it's written, "Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." Psalm 30 in verse 4, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." We are transformed by Christ from death to life. Each of us were metaphorically locked in a tomb of death, that tomb of sin. And Christ called us out, "Come forth, John. Come forth. Come out." And he has us unwrapped from those grave clothes, those sinful, stench-filled clothes of sin. And he clothes us in righteousness, his righteousness. He cleans us up. We can be thankful. It's by his mercy that any of us have been redeemed from sin and that death tomb that we were locked in. Christ calls us out of the grave and sets us free. We're instructed to give thanks to the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent or eternal, almighty God. It's written in Psalm 30, "O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." In the darkness there is weeping, in the light there is joy. And we've all been brought into new light. The joy of your eternal soul's salvation from sin and death is cause for giving thanks, no matter what the world brings. Say as David, "I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." That's in Psalm 35. Our giving of thanks isn't just to be private, but also public. Indeed, as we do in these services, we give praise to God. We lift up our praises. We lift up our testimonies. God is good. He is always good. His mercy endures forever. And our thanks for God's mercy is to be open and honest. Jesus Christ repeatedly called his people his sheep. David wrote, "So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." Psalm 79:13 relates that. Giving thanks is to be a part of our lives forever. Forever. It's not just something that we do once a year. Yes, we celebrate and we give thanks at this time of the year. And whether it's in the eating of animals or herbs, whatever it is, whether it be turkeys or ducks or geese or whatever, we are to give thanks for God's mercy. It's to be a part of our life forever. It's to be an unending hymn to our Creator who loved us so much that he brought us out of that tomb. He saved us as he called Lazarus out of the tomb. It's a metaphor for his call upon each of our lives out of sin and into the light, his light. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. If then, how much more now? Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks unto God always. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks in everything and experience strength in joy. Remember, it's the joy of the Lord that's our strength, Scripture tells us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And how much more can we experience joy than by giving of thanks? Thank you, Lord, for the clothing that I have. Thank you that I can go into my closet and I can get clothes to wear. Thank you for the food that's in the refrigerator. Thank you for the water that comes forth from the pipes. Thank you for the pipes. Thank you for the company that brings the water into my house, or brings the gas into my house, or brings whatever, the electricity into my house. We can be thankful for so much. We can give thanks for all these things that we take for granted. When I get into the automobile and I turn the key and it starts, I can say, thank you, Lord. I've had automobiles that you turned the key and they didn't start. Think about that. Look for places and ways that you can be thankful, not just for those obvious things, but for the things that are not obvious in our lives. Thank God for the little bit of money that you might have in your pocket or in the bank. Thank God for whatever it is that He has allowed for you to have. In fact, the reality is we don't have any money. We have debt notes, which are created by a company that's an incorporation. But that's a whole other story, and we're not going to go there. But we can still be thankful that God allows us to have what we need in our lives. As I wrap this up, I want to remind you of a few things. We've unlocked some scriptural treasure here by looking at Christ's raising of Lazarus from the dead today. Our Lord and Savior taught and exhibited the will of the Father throughout His ministry, including here. He exhibited it. He showed the will of God at work. He thanked the Father for hearing Him before calling Lazarus from the grave. Be thankful before God answers your prayer. Be honestly thankful. His mercy endures forever. Giving thanks is instructed throughout the Scriptures, and that's not the only reason. It is God's will that we give thanks, as it's written in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. It requires faith to say thank you before the prayer is answered. And I believe every follower of Christ can live with this level of faith. I believe we can if we trust as a child trusts. I believe we can love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourself, and that will lead us into having that thankfulness. Jesus said, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. And therefore, I believe we can say thank you when we're praying for something we need. I believe you can know that God hears and answers our prayers before we even speak them. And we can say thank you. Just a gentle thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus said the reason He raised Lazarus was for those who were there would believe that He was sent by the Father. It was so that they would know He was sent by the Father. Lazarus became a living testimony to the authenticity of Christ and His power to transform dead souls to new life. In this miracle, we get to see a metaphorical picture of God's will for whoever responds to His beckoning. Come forth. Come forth. That's the Lord calling you out of sin into life, into light. Christ brings everlasting life to all who believe He's the Son of the one true living Almighty God. He brings new life. His mercy endures forever. It's something to be thankful for. Our new life in Christ is cause for rejoicing and giving thanks no matter what the world brings. It doesn't matter. Let's give thanks. Give thanks that you have tires that will get you through the snow whenever it's snowing. And if you don't have tires that get you through the snow, thank God that He can keep you home. Think of it in the perspective of what it is. Sometimes God's keeping us, as somebody lifted up this morning in our prayers. We don't even know how God blesses us sometimes. Let's give thanks for those blessings that we're not aware of. It's the will of God for you to always give thanks in all things. And remember this and watch your faith grow as you realize this changeless principle in action in your life. Give thanks. Surrender in thanks. And watch Christ raise you to new life. Now let's pray. Father, we do thank You. We thank You, Lord, as we're about to sing. We thank You, Lord, for the saving of our souls. We thank You for all the blessings, Lord, even those that we often take for granted. We thank you, Father, for the clothes and the food and the shelter that you provide for us. All of the things that we need, Lord. We know that you care for even the littlest of the birds. How much more do you care for us? Help us, Lord, to remember in everything to give thanks and know that this is your will for us. Help us, Father, to say thank you before you answer our prayers. Let us pray in your will, that your will be done. Lord, let us trust as children. Let us trust you and love you with our whole being. We know that you know what we need before we ask. So, Father, we ask that since we know you can hear us and answer us before we even speak, we ask that you would, and we say thank you. And we pray this all in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, now we are going to open our hymnals to number 221, and we are going to sing Thank You, Lord, number 221.